Changing gears now for a minute. Hey, don't worry. Be nuky. Everything's okay as the summer floods and fires and droughts continue. Yes, we have nuclear facilities that are threatened now by floods and wildfires, but nothing to worry about. The officials say all is well. Why worry? Don't worry. Be nuky. You know, all of this is coming about, these droughts, these floods, these wildfires, because it is exactly what the scientists have been warning about now for decades. These floods, these fires, these droughts. And yet, I had to laugh or cry last Friday, I don't know which one, when Congressman Steve King of Iowa had this to say on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives concerning the rising waters of the Missouri. Do you have that?
Could not have known that they were going to get the heavy snowfalls that would come down on the mountains that would be melting even now, would run off to the extent that it did. That's unprecedented in duration. It's unprecedented in volume. This is more water than has ever come down the Missouri River in a year. And that's more than even came down in the 1993 floods, which was a 500-year flood event.
A 500-year flood event in 93, and now we're seeing more water than that just, 15 years later or so. So Steve King, that was Congressman Steve King, one of Congress's leading climate change deniers, who says the Corps of Engineers could not have known this would happen. Of course they could have known. Scientists have been warning about this for years, but you, congressmen, have been ignoring them and calling them hoaxers and liars. When will Congress pay attention to these warning signs? Oh, when hell freezes over, which, by the way, could happen soon, according to scientists as well. It's just remarkable. So to get an update on these nuclear facilities that are now being threatened, and will continue to be threatened in the future, according to AP's investigative reports, I'm joined by Tyson Slocum, the director of Public Citizens Energy Program. He's an expert in the dangers and pitfalls of nuclear power and other fossil fuels, and an advocate for cleaner, more sustainable energy alternatives. Really? That's why he's not in Congress. Prior to joining Public Citizen, Tyson was a policy analyst at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. He joins us now on KPFK. Hey, Tyson, welcome back. Well, I think this is your first time on KPFK. Welcome to KPFK, sir.
Hey, great to be here.
Glad to have you. All right, Tyson, well, we got a lot of ground to cover here in a short time, because it seems we've got a lot of facilities now in trouble in the short term and, according to AP, in the long term. Bring me up to date. Let's start with the Fort Calhoun in Nebraska. We had flood waters rising, and last we saw an artificial berm that had been protecting the facility had broken, and the floodwaters got through. Where are we in that situation at Fort Calhoun right now, Tyson?
Well, the situation is the external cooling systems, which are largely diesel generators, are still operational. So we do not have a meltdown event or anything to the degree like what we saw earlier this year in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
However, the situation remains extremely troublesome, and that's because, as the Associated Press investigation has highlighted, the U.S. nuclear power industry has not really been prepared for this kind of an unprecedented event, that we've got a collusion between the industry and the regulators at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington, D.C., who are supposed to maintain a level of independence over the industry. We've seen a number of decisions approved by federal regulators that have accommodated the interests of nuclear power operators at the detriment of highlighting safety or security.
I want to get into that and the problem with the regulators in a minute, but I just want to be clear. When it comes to Fort Calhoun, they have said that we are, the plants are built to take into account floods of this level, and yet They're building artificial berms. I don't understand that. Can you explain that to me? How can it be that the plants are built to sustain these kind of floodwaters? And if you look at the photographs, I mean, it looks like an island in the middle of the water now that has encroached on this plant. How can the plants be built to sustain this kind of flooding, and then they still have to go out and build artificial berms to protect it? Why aren't there permanent berms, Tyson, around these plants if they're already anticipating floods of this sort?
Right. Well, you just underscored the point. And you played a recording earlier from a member of Congress talking about how unprecedented this level of flooding was. And the fact is that just as we saw in Japan, the smartest folks in the industry, the most diligent of regulators, cannot always account for every variable that can go wrong from a natural disaster or from a intentional attack, like a terrorist attack.
Right.
On these facilities. And that's really the Achilles heel of nuclear power when we get down to it. You and I would not be having this discussion if Fort Calhoun was a wind farm or a large solar photovoltaic array system. We are having this discussion because it is a nuclear reaction that, if it is not properly cooled, can lead to a meltdown, which can in turn lead to catastrophic releases of deadly radiation over very large geographic areas.
Well, it can.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And that's the issue here.
But it seems to me that they are not.
And that's why private insurance companies do not provide insurance. Any operator of a nuclear power plant, such as those in Nebraska and elsewhere, obtain their insurance through a special statute passed by Congress, where the American taxpayer essentially provides catastrophic risk insurance for these facilities, because the market looked at this and said, we're not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
Well, that's
so, as always,
yeah,
and the market won't assist these entities. The taxpayer subsidizes it.
Exactly. More corporate welfare as usual. But I still, you know, it seems to me that officials are just lying when they say, you know, these plants were made to keep these into account. It's right on the banks of the Missouri out there in Fort Calhoun. And yet it seems just a bald-faced lie if they say the plant is ready for this sort of flood, and yet they have to build, you know, put up sandbags and artificial barriers. Now, the diesel generators, those are now working for the moment because the regular power from the grid has been knocked out to the facility by the waters, correct?
Yeah, although that you might be able to have some of the grid electricity restored, because you don't have the kind of widespread geographic devastation that you had in Japan with the combined earthquake and tsunami. But again, in Japan, you've got a country that everybody acknowledges is the best prepared to deal with earthquakes and tsunamis, and yet they were not able to account for the tsunami because it was a tsunami of historic proportions.
Right.
And right now, engineers and others are struggling to contain these historic floodwaters. And the question is, can the facility withstand inundation underwater? I certainly hope it does.
Well, those
I
diesel
generators. We have backup plans.
I'm sure there is. We recently found that the backup batteries, if the diesel generators go out, the backup batteries at a lot of these facilities only operate for a matter of hours. So if we do lose that diesel generation, diesel power at the Fort Calhoun plant, it seems to me to be a serious concern. And just because I'm short on time, let me move across the country. Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen out to Los Alamos, where you've got wildfires now threatening the plant. Oh, and let me just debunk one piece. The no-fly zone over Fort Calhoun, that a lot of people have been pointing to that as if there's something terrible going on there. That no-fly zone has actually been in place since 9/11. So I just want to put that particular concern to bed. But moving on to Los Alamos, wildfires are now threatening nuclear storage facilities out there. What is the danger presented by that, and are they successfully holding off those wildfires out at Los Alamos at this time, Tyson?
Well, so far they are, but what we have at Los Alamos is enormous quantities of stored highly radioactive waste, and the fires threaten to engulf those storage areas that are not under significant protective cover. And so again, this is from the legacy of our nuclear weapons development programs as opposed to commercial nuclear reactors. The issue is the same, that the United States has significant problems with storing waste safely. The fact is that natural disasters or intentional disasters in the form of a terrorist attack are very real threats. And as Representative Ed Markey, who is the ranking Democrat in the House Energy and Commerce Committee, has raised repeatedly over the years, we don't have disaster plans that are realistic around our weapons waste storage facilities or around our commercial nuclear reactors. The last time these plans were updated was 1980, and we have seen population growth around these reactors grow by leaps and bounds. And so you have a lot more population density, which means more logistical challenges in moving populations out of the area should a concern occur. So we don't have realistic plans, and that's because the industry has fought against it.
I've only got a minute here, Tyson. Sure. So this takes us to Jeff Don's tremendous series of investigative reports for AP, and we're not going to be able to cover them in the detail I would like, so I'd encourage folks to check out Jeff, D-O-N-N, Jeff Don of AP, and his series of investigative reports that he's released over the last few days. These plants were built, they said, to last for 40 years. They have now outlived that 40 years, and yet nuclear regulators are turning around and approving these for 10, 20, 40-year extensions. Do you have any confidence in the 30 seconds we have left here, Tyson? Do you have any confidence that there is anyone in the federal government who is really looking out for the safety of these facilities and of the people versus the industry? I know it's a big question for 30 seconds, but...
I think there are some people, but unfortunately... they're in the minority and they're not the decision makers. The decision makers in government right now are prioritizing the needs of the nuclear power industry and their lobbyists in Washington, D.C., because the more resources we spend on securing these facilities and making sure that our communities are safe, is less profit for the operators. That's what it comes down to. And as we've seen in a number of different industries, whether it's nuclear power, whether it's coal, whether it's BP and oil, we have consistently seen that these entities and their lobbyists hold more sway than those concerned with prioritizing public safety.
Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen. Check him out at citizen.org. I'll be back with you next week. Same time, same Brad time, same Brad channel. I appreciate it, Tyson. Until we see you next week, I'm Brad Friedman. We'll see you at bradblog.com.